Welcome to the Dream Factory, a warm, cozy, and extremely lovely place where only the most visceral nightmares and pleasure-driven musings of its residents are mercilessly extracted and sold for the pure enjoyment of others. The Dream Factory, a new novel by Mark Marcus. Now available on your Apple device, Kindle, and on Amazon.com. Go to CandleShorePublishing.com/Dream Factory. Hi, this is Mark, and welcome back to CandleShore. When I was about 5 or 6 years old, I became fascinated with keys. And I don't know what happened. It's very hard to reconstruct memories. Either I got a key for some reason, or I don't know, maybe I picked up my mother's keys. I really can't remember. But I do remember that I was fascinated as to how to get the keys on and off that O-ring. And of course, this was a long time ago. And at that time, I had never seen any other kind of key ring. You know, they have all kinds now, and maybe even then, you know, they have the kind you can use your thumb to push the ring or the connector, and you can slide the key off. But this was the traditional O-ring. And I remember becoming fixated on how to get the keys off and on that ring, and I could not figure it out. And I remember my mother either wanted to add or remove a key, and she said, well, we'll just have to wait until your uncle comes over and whatever, and he'll do it. And I really wanted to do it for her, but I couldn't. It looked like, it just looked like magic how to get that thing off and on. I couldn't figure it out. I spent hours and hours and hours. And I remember, I don't remember specifically, but a couple of days later, he came over and she handed him the key ring and the key, and boom, he just did it. I didn't see how he did it. He handed it back to her, and I remember, again, these are fragmented memories, but all of a sudden there was another key on the ring. And I don't know why he didn't show me how to do it. I can't remember why. You know, it was so long ago, but I do know no one showed me how to do it. I remember being fixated on it for a couple of days. And every now and then during the next couple of years, I'd try to figure it out, and I couldn't do it. You know, looking back at my childhood, there were a lot of things people didn't show me how to do. I don't know why, like how to whistle. And at some point, it sounds crazy when I tell you about it, but in all honesty, at some point, either I got somebody to do it or something. I never did figure it out on my own. But anyway, so let's fast forward 10 years. I remember I was watching a television show on a Saturday night, and I had found an old O-ring, and I had a couple of keys. And for whatever reason, I remember I was watching Fantasy Island, which will tell you how old I am, the original Fantasy Island, on a Saturday night. And I figured it out, how to put the key on the O-ring. But there was nobody else there with me when it happened. I was in a room by myself. And I remember wanting to run and tell somebody, guess what I figured? But even then I realized that no one would care. It wasn't that big of a deal. It was only a big deal to me. And again, I cannot remember why I couldn't get anybody to show me how to do it. I remember asking my uncles or somebody how to do it, but I don't remember anybody telling me how. It may have been because it was too difficult, or maybe they were in a hurry, or maybe, I don't know. You know, there's so many things you just remember. But it was one of the great mysteries of my childhood for a very long time, is how to put keys on an O-ring and take them off. How does that relate to the day's topic? Because, and like I said, there are a lot of things about my childhood that were kind of a mystery that I never really figured out. Another one was, the Polaroid. I thought when you take a picture and that little piece of film would come out, the picture would come out blank, and you'd just sit there and watch it, and all of a sudden it would just start to magically appear. That just blew my mind. You know, it just, even now, some things like that really I find are magical. But back then it was even more so. And like whistling, I'm a pretty good whistler, but the one thing I never learned to do was to take two fingers and put them in my mouth and make that really, really loud whistle. People can do that. I never learned to do it. No one taught me how to whistle at all. I had to teach myself. And maybe, I don't know what it is, but there weren't many mentors for me in that kind of stuff. Maybe it's kind of hard to believe, but it's true. But getting back, so there are things that I will just never understand. But the O-ring and the key, I did. So in the news media, and I'm not going to mention any names, but I'm just going to, at the time of this recording, you may have read about or listened to on the news, about a 12-year-old girl who, as a result of cyberbullying, that means of harsh words that took place on Twitter and Facebook, as a result of that, she got on top of a warehouse and jumped off and killed herself. And recently, as of the time of this recording, a Florida sheriff arrested the bullies, the 14-year-old and the 13-year-old girl. And the news, of course, is plastering this. And you know what I think of the news media. You know, it doesn't take much to, if you listen to my show for any length of time, you know I have absolutely no respect for the news media whatsoever. But anyway, they show this sheriff who arrested these two teens. And he's saying that, you know, that he thinks that they should be held accountable for their harsh words towards this 12-year-old victim. And that her parents should be held accountable. Then the news in the same story switches over to the victim's mother, who looks into the camera teary-eyed and saying that she thinks the parents of the bullies should also be arrested because they had no control over their daughters and that they should have been aware of what their daughters were doing. And the one that really gets me is when she says, these girls, meaning the bullies, killed my baby. They took my baby. This is a quote. They took away my baby. Okay, end quote. When I watch this story, and again, I can't just see it once. The news media, you know, they plaster it everywhere, so you can't get away from it. The one thing that strikes me as odd is how this woman, the parent of the victim, how she doesn't think that she herself is responsible for her daughter's death. And this is what I think. I don't know how she, as a parent, can hold another child's parent responsible for that child's actions without her being held to the same standard. While it's true that it's terrible what these girls wrote, and the girls have shown no remorse as to what they did and telling this child that they should, you know, the 14-year-old is saying to the 12-year-old, we're looking at the Facebook post, you should kill yourself, why don't you just die, I hate you, no one likes you. That's all true. And yes, the parent of the bullies, I think, should be held some kind of responsible, but I also think the parent of the victim should be held. Why wasn't she watching her daughter's Facebook page? How is it she thinks that these other, the bully's parents should be monitoring their daughter? But she doesn't have to. As far as I'm concerned, the buck starts and stops with her, meaning the parent of the victim. I don't know how she, if you're going to arrest the bully's parents, then you got to arrest the victim's parents also. Because just like the bully's parents, she didn't know what was going on with her daughter. The only one I feel really sorry for here is the daughter, is the victim, the one who killed herself. Because clearly she didn't feel she could turn to her parents and say, this is what's happening. Her parents clearly didn't know what was going on her Facebook page. They clearly didn't know what was going on with her texting and her Twitter page. And just like everything, you know, there's two sides to this. It's a mystery to me. How does this relate to my childhood key O-ring problem? It's because I can't understand why no one seems to want to hold the victim's parents responsible. I mean, maybe I'm crazy. Maybe I really am insane. But I just cannot understand how there seems to be a double standard. How the sheriff and everyone seem to think, the bully's parents are horrible people because they didn't control their daughter. But I say the same is true for the victim's parents. They didn't control their daughter either. So if you're going to hold one side accountable, you got to hold both sides accountable. Listen, this is going to sound kind of callous and cold-blooded, but it's not. But I don't feel sorry I'm angry at the victim's parents. I'm angry at this woman who looks into the camera and goes, they took my baby. No, they didn't. You know, we're talking about a war of words here. These were just words. I'm thinking about what real bullying. I was bullied as a child at some point. Believe me, I know what bullying is. I'm sure there are a lot of you in my generation who know what real bullying is. I'll tell you what bullying is when you have your clothes bleached, or when kids hit you, or when the teachers are complicit when they know about these things. This is what happened to me. Or you have slurs written everywhere when you go into your room or back to your bedroom, or you have your stuff stolen. I mean, there are some true bullies. But you know, and I'm not. Maybe I'm just a dinosaur from an old age, an era gone by. Perhaps that's the case. But there's an old saying: when I grew up, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Whatever happened to that? If we move into a world now where if somebody says something and it causes someone else to do something, the first person can be held accountable, it's kind of scary. We're kind of moving into 1984, aren't we? You know, the book 1984 by George Orwell? No, he's not the one who did that, is he? Was that Brave New World? I get the authors confused. I don't know. Forget that. Forget the author. I don't know who did 84. I think it was, but I could be wrong. But I don't want to move into a world of Big Brother here. I really don't. I'm not saying that these girls, the 14-year-old and the 13-year-old, are some kind of saints. You know, but people can write whatever they want. I keep thinking that the 12-year-old didn't. You know, if I were a parent of a child who killed themselves, the first person I would be blaming would be me. Because at some point, I lost touch with my child. My child did not feel that she or he could come to me and say, "Hey, Dad, you know what? This is happening. What do I do?" First off, I wouldn't have a child with an unmonitored Facebook or any kind of social media page. That's one. Two, I don't know if I'd have I don't know if my child at 12 years old would have a cell phone that I didn't keep complete control over. And yet, again, the media, in its unimpartial, unbalanced, right, the way they do now, they only tell one side of the story. I would love to hear somebody at CBS, NBC, MSNBC, ABC, anybody say, "Hey, I'm sorry what happened to you and what happened to your daughter, but where were you when this stuff was going on?" So as far as the Florida sheriff is concerned, if he's going to arrest, or if anybody's going to arrest these bullies' parents, they damn sure better arrest the victim's parents too. If you're going to hold one side accountable, you got to hold both sides accountable. And if you're not going to hold one side accountable, you can't hold the other side accountable. I know I'm beating a dead horse, but I get so angry. I don't feel any empathy for this woman at all, this parent of the victim. I don't. I can say, where the hell, you cry now. Where were you when your daughter needed you? She's dead now. It's too late to cry. Where were you when your daughter needed help? You know, that's the way I see this, and I can't get away from it because the news won't let me get away from it. So, you know, please hold yourself accountable. When you see these things on the TV or on the read them in the paper, you know, instead of always blaming somebody else for your problems, I'm talking to the parents. I keep going back in time to this story. Years and years ago, and I may have even talked about it on the show, there was a woman who fell asleep while she was watching her two five-year-old daughters. The kids get outside of the house because the door was unlocked. They walk onto a train track and the train hits them. Who do you think gets blamed? Who do you think the media blamed? Who do you think? Of course, the train! No one blamed the mother who fell asleep. No one blames the mother who had two daughters who were unsupervised, who left the front door open. They blame the train for being on a track and going down the track when the kids were there. Absolutely amazing. I'll never forget this. I personally, and again, I don't monitor the entire news world, but I don't remember ever hearing any pundit say, "Wow, this parent ought to be hanged. What the hell was she doing when her two fifth grader or five-year-olds were wandering around a house unsupervised?" No, they say the train shouldn't have been on the track. I cannot. Am I losing my mind? Am I going crazy? I must be. Because I can't seem to find anybody who seems to, when I talk to individuals about, I'm stepping away from the mic because I'm getting too close. When I talk to individuals about these things, everybody agrees with me. But I can't seem to find it in the media and in the newspapers. I can't seem to find anybody, a pundit, who says, wow, let's blame the parent who let the fifth graders, who let the five graders out of the house. Let's not blame the train for being on the track. And the same is true with this bullying, this cyberbullying. I got news for you. Cyberbullies, any bullies, physical bullying is different because the parent can't be everywhere. But the parents can monitor, at least they can. They can monitor the Facebook and Twitter pages. All they have to do is just read them. Anyway, there's two sides to the story. There's always two sides, and somehow people always want to look to the other side. That's all anyone wants to do these days, and as far as the news media is concerned, I don't see anybody saying the buck starts and stops with me. Look at yourself, please. Parents, all you parents, look at yourselves before you start looking at other parents and how the other parents failed. Look at your own personal failure. Watch your children. I was walking down the street. I mean this. This is a true story. Within the last week, this child, this little girl, ran right out in front of me across the street. Her parent had lost control of her. Now, whose fault, if she had gotten hit by a car, whose fault would it be? Of course, she'd blame the car for being on the road. And I looked at her. I said, you need to watch your daughter. I said, I was so upset. Of course, you can't say anything to anybody because after all, that wouldn't be nice either.
We're
in the twilight zone. Use some common sense. Look at yourself before you look at other people. Find out what you did wrong first, and then look at somebody else. And you will find that most of the time, most of us could stop these mistakes before they happen. If this woman, the mother of the 12-year-old, had been monitoring her daughter's web page or Facebook page and Twitter pages, she would have seen this bullying, and then she could have taken some preventative steps. It's easy to say, yeah, well, if you'd been watching your daughter, this is the victim now, the victim's parents saying, well, the bully's parents should have been watching their daughters. Yeah, okay, fine. You can say that. But you know what? To anybody that has a brain stem, they're going to hold you equally accountable. I say more so, not just equally. I think more so, because you're the one with the child that's being bullied. And I don't care how many laws they pass. You cannot outlaw. You're never going to stop bullying. What you can do is stop the effects of the bullying. You can do that. And cyberbullying to me is a joke. I mean, I don't mean a joke. I mean, clearly it's happening. But the only reason it's so effective is because children are feeling so alone that they can't go to their parents, and parents are so busy that they don't want to bother to look at their kids' pages. I really do hold in this situation, I hold the parents responsible. Again, this child that was walking across, ran out in the road in front of me the other day, should have been holding her parent's hand so she couldn't have gotten away. And I'm glad nothing happened to her. But just because bad things happen doesn't always mean it's the somebody else's fault. That's really what I'm saying. Let me just leave it at that. Okay, remember to make a joyful noise. Please look at yourself before you look at other people, okay? And I will see you back here soon. Take care.